We're up to Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Tes Vav. The previous Pasuk asked a question, a rhetorical question. Mi yogur lanu, who can live among us? Esh ochela, mi yogur lanu, mokadei olam. And we explained this yesterday to refer to the threat of Sancheriv. Sancheriv, the enemies who represented the enemies of Bnei Yisrael, are compared to an all-consuming fire, to a moked, a pyre that burns olam forever and ever. An everlasting fire. In other words, their power, their force of destruction is so great and powerful, it is impossible to survive. And therefore, Bnei Yisrael expressed this frustration. How are we going to survive this siege, this threat that Sancheriv poses against our existence? And the answer in Pasuk Tezvav gives us the answer. The answer is that the Melech Tzidkiyahu, this Pasuk Tezvav, according to the simple interpretation, refers to Melech Tzidkiyahu, Chizkiyahu, who was leading the people at this point in time. He was a tzaddik. He, in his influence, will save the Jewish people. He is the one that can overcome the threat that is described as an Esh Ochela and a Mokdei Olam. Who is this person, Chizkiyahu? He is an individual who is Hilech Tzedakos, who goes in paths of righteousness. Vidover Meisharim, speaks words that are correct. Moes, he detests Bevetza Ma'ashakos, the prophet that comes from extortion. Ma'ashakos, we have this word many, many times in Sefer Yeshaya. It simply means theft. And there are different translations of different interpretations of Oshek depending on the context.
Like extortion.
One is extortion. That's probably the simplest interpretation. Extortion. So extortion. You hold up. You force a person even for money. Extortion. I believe in English. Even if you pay him, the person does not want to sell his property. You tell him, I don't care what you want, I want your property, and here is the money, and you must give it, the property, to me. This is theft, because the person does not transfer his property with free will. But in this context, the way I've seen most of the Mefarshim explain, Oshek refers to withholding of money that is due to another person. For example, wages. Someone has worked for you, you owe him money, and you refuse to pay him. Now that's theft. Obviously, that's gezel, that's theft, but it's a certain term, a certain type of theft where it's much easier to get away with. You mislead a person, come work for me, I'll pay you. And then it comes time to give him a paycheck, he only gives him half what he's supposed to give him, only gives him three quarters. And he makes some lame excuse why he's not giving him the full amount. That is gezel. I mean, but that's not the typical gezel where you walk into a bank on robbery, you hold up a bank, and you clean him out. Here it's a more sophisticated form of gezel, and that's what we call oshek, where a person borrows money and doesn't pay. Not paying your loans is you are withholding from your friend money that is owed to him. And that's here what it says with regard to Tzidkiyahu. He detests Moes. It is detestable in his eyes. Good morning. In his eyes, Moes, but that's the prophet, comes from Ma'ashakos, from Oshek, which any profit that is gained illegally. Next, Noer Kapov Mitmoch B'Shochat, he shakes out his hands from supporting Shochat. So not only Shochat, not only does he not take Shochat, here it says Mitmoch, from support. Support means if other people, he takes note that other people are, there is a society, there is a culture of bribery. Many countries are afflicted with this culture, that it's a given. The only way things get done is through bribes. You hear about this in the news all the time. All different types of countries, different segments of governments, and so on and so forth. I need not elaborate. He does not allow society to exist where such a thing is tolerated. And it is expressed in powerful words. Noah means to shake vigorously, to pour out. Noer Kapov, he shakes out his hands, or the hands, mitmoch bashocha. Not only does he himself not accept bribes, but he does not allow a society to exist where people support such an institution, where that's the way that things get done, by smearing someone and giving them a little extra money. Otem ozno mishmo damim. He closes his ears from hearing damim, anything that will lead to bloodshed, anything that will lead he doesn't want to hear. He does not want to hear words which will lead, if he hears that someone is being executed, is being killed, is being harassed for a reason that is sheker, he will not allow himself to hear such words. He will take action. Or he doesn't want to hear lashon hara. Lashon hara can cause a person to become embarrassed. When a person becomes embarrassed, it's like shvichas tamim. When a person turns white, an embarrassment, Chazal said, that's a bizrayu of shvichas tamim. So he does not want to listen to words of lashon hara, which lead to embarrassment and lead to the equivalent of shvichas tamim. The oitzem eino of meros bera, he closes his eyes, does not look at things which are improper. Ruach Chazal interpret this pasuk. This gemara refers to looking at Noshim, looking at women that are not dressed properly. The Gemara refers to women that would bathe themselves along the beach, the seashore, and men. Even though they're dressed properly, I mean they're fully dressed, but it's still not proper for a man to look at a woman in such a matzav. And this individual, he closes eyes from looking the raw. Raw, because that can lead to thoughts of erva, as the Gemara says, "V'nishmarta mikol davar ra." That a person should guard himself from ra refers to erva, and seeing women in such a matzav can lead to thoughts of erva and which is ra. Now this pasuk is famous for Gemara in the end of Masechta Makos. We know that there are tayag mitzvos. And we know that it's a bit difficult to be nizar, to be medactic in every single one of the tayag mitzvahs. Of course, Mr. Nussbaum was speaking about this yesterday. I mean, you have to, it's every mitzvah, it's not so easy. Forget if we get to skulos, you have to be first focused on the mitzvahs. But even among the mitzvahs, it's hard. So in the Gemara it says, that's right, it is hard. And each one of the nevi'im came along and diminished our focus. Moshe said there are tayag mitzvos. Be medak. No. So one Navi came along and said, David came along and said, no, only focus on, I'm second, 24. We'll reduce to 24. I was planning on bringing the Gemara, but opening the Gemara, but it's okay for now. I don't know who here, but she was on the end of the Gemara. We know the end of the Gemara. What's the end of the Gemara? Bochav HaKuk vehemidam al achas v'tzadik be'emunoso yichya. Tzadik lives in faith. This is the ik of a person focused on emunah. He has everything. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us in our generation, at least in even the time of Chavakuk. Tzadik be'emunos yichya. But before we got down to one, we went through a process. Moshe, Tayag. David, I think, said 24, maybe 18, I don't remember. And then somewhere in this process, we came to Yeshaya. And Yeshaya said 6. Focus on 6 mitzvos, or 6 themes. And the mitzvos which relate to these themes focus on what are those? Those are the things that we see here in this pasuk, the 6 items listed. Hoylech tzedakos, doiver meisharim is 2, moyes bevetza ma'ashakos is 3, noyer kapav mitmoch b'shoichad is 4, oitim ozdom b'shmo adamim is 5, and oitzim inav neros bera is 6. So this is a very important pasuk to remember in the process of going down from Tayag to Chavakuk of Tzadik Be'emunos HaYichya. In the middle we have Yeshaya. What are the three?
Between.
What are the three between? David. David said what? How many did David say?
Got it down to 3.
Okay, here, have a little bit more. The last staff in Masechta Makos. Last staff in Masechta Makos. Okay, fine. Now there's other Gemara. There are many midrashim. Okay, we're not going to go through all the midrashim, but a lot of these midrashim attribute these 6 items to 6 different individuals in our history. Some refer reference or connect this entire pasuk to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu. Here I'll reuse part of the midrash when it says here Hoylech Tzedakos Ze Avraham Shenemar. The Shamru Derech Hashem, Hashem said about Avraham that I'm going to bless him. He will guard the Derech Hashem Lasos Tzedakah Umishpat. Hashem said about Edus, about Avraham, he will go in Tzedakah Umishpat. Lishma Derech Hashem Lasos Tzedakah Umishpat. That's what's in the pasuk here. Hoylech Tzedakos. The next word, Doiver Neisharim. Where does that refer to Avraham? because it's really possible from Shir HaShirim, Meisharim, Ahavucha. And that the ones who are Yashar, they love you. Really, all of the others are called the Yashar. Sefer HaYashar. Meisharim Ahavucha was a reference in Shir HaShirim to Avraham. What's the next one? The next one is Moyes Bevetza Ma'ashakos. That's because he did not take from the booty of the four kings. When the four kings conquered the five kings, and Melech Sodom came to greet Avraham, and he said to him, take whatever you want. Avraham said, Harimos Yodi L'Shama L'Kel, that Imichut V'yat Tzeroch Na'al Imekach Mikol Asher Loch, I don't want to take from the spoils of war. All I want, they are the Nefashos. All I want are the people that I saved. That's all I want. That's a hidden reference here to Noyer Kapov Mitmoch B'Shochat. He did not want to take the profit from the number three. Moes Bevetza Ma'ashakos. Okay, the next expression of Noyer Kapov Mitmoch B'Shochat, that refers to also another reference to that same event. They have to break it up in the Medrash. Okay, we can't go into details, but in the Medrash there breaks up different parts of that Maisa with the four kings against the five kings, and Avraham in two different instances who refused to take the spoils. The next expression was Oitem Osno B'Shmo Abdamim, refers to Lot. When Og Melech HaBashan came and informed Avraham Ki Nishba Achiv, he could have just said, okay, what could I possibly do? I'm one man. I can't go fight against four kings, five kings. I'm not capable of waging a world war. No. Otem ozno mishmo damim. He did not want to hear damim, blood, that his nephew would be killed. He closed his ears, meaning he would not accept such a report. And he went out and forth and was most nefesh to save his nephew. And oitzim enov miros bira, what does that refer to? That l'choira refers to, doesn't say this in the Medrash, but I was thinking on my own, that it refers to Avraham did not look at Sarah. Avraham said, ki ato yodadi ki isho yifas mare ot. That even Avraham and his own wife was extremely careful to only look, to be with her at a time when she was in a matzav of tznius. Ato yadati, it was an accident, he was living with his wife his whole life. How old was he in that episode? He already was a zokin at that point in time. And then all of a sudden there was an accident where he saw the reflection of his wife in a babua, in a puddle, in some type of stream. Ato yadati ki isha yifas mara. Now I know that you're a beautiful woman. Okay, it's a pella what this means. A lot of mefarshim, they have many interpretations what it means. Do you know what his life looked like? That's not realistic. Torah wouldn't. It's given to the average man, and there are lessons to learn for the average man. It can't be that you can say that Avraham never saw what his wife looked like. It's very difficult to interpret the pasuk in such a literal fashion. And many mefarshim indeed have approaches. But one thing is for sure: however you learn the pasuk, literally, not literally, he was on a very high level. He was a holy person. He didn't look at his wife the same way the average person looks at his wife. And that's why there was some new appreciation of that's what the pasuk includes with Avraham Avinu, Oitzim Einav Meiro'o Spira. Okay, so this is a reference to Avraham Avinu. There's another medrash that applies all of these things to different individuals. Mm-hmm. And let's give you some examples. One, the first one refers to Avraham of tzedakos, from the pasuk that I quoted before of Hoylech tzedakos. Hashem said lasos that he has faith in Avraham, he will do mishpat. The next pasuk, the next part that says that he is doiver meisharim, he speaks words that are upright. That refers to Rabbi Yishmoel ben Elisha, the famous Kohen Gadol. What was about him? He did not take manas kuna from a person it's not referring to a specific person. It's referring to a general person that does not cause harm to his friend. He speaks words that are upright, does not cause harm. The next expression, Moyes Bebetza Ma'ashakos, refers to Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. If someone would bring him truma, he would right away ask himself, how come now for the first time you're bringing me truma? Why didn't you bring me truma last year? Why didn't you bring me truma in the last season? And the answer is, you gave it to someone else. What happened? It must be at a fight. Something went wrong. So now you're coming to me. No, I don't want to take it. Go make up with your Kohen. And he refused, even though there's nothing technically wrong with him taking the truma. The person, the Yisrael, has the right to give whatever he wants. No, even though he is entitled to it, he realized there's something wrong. It should have been given to someone else. He refused to accept it. The next example is Noyer Kapov. Noyer Kapov Mitmach B'Shochad. That refers to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yoisi. What did he do? He did not take from his famous story the sharecropper. He was a dayan, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and the people came to the court to Dinei Torah on Monday and Thursday. And all of a sudden, one day, he's in court, and the sharecropper shows up on, let's say it was Sunday, and he says, and he brings him truma. So he says, why are you here? Oh, because I have tomorrow with you a Din Torah, Monday and Thursday. So once I'm already here, so I came, and I came here early, and I brought you the truma day early. So he told him, if that's the case, I'm puzzled to be your dayan. Because like a bribe, even though I'm really entitled to receive truma, but once you're coming here Monday, Thursday, you're coming day early, it's just that's the way human nature can't be, that subconsciously I'm close to you because you have been so kind to give me the truma. I remember the details of the Gemara, a day early, or earlier than he normally would have gotten it, because he's coming for the next day, so he excluded himself, recused himself from serving as the judge on his case. I remember a certain dayan person came to court. It's a true story. This is not from America. This goes back from I know who he was referring to. A certain person person came to court, and the dayan was a little bit late, The dayan came. And he met with one of the Baal Dinim outside the courtroom, and the Baal Din, he saw that on the lapel of the dayan there was some dirt, there was some dust. So he went and he brushed it off like this. So he said, so he said to him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I have a court case with you. I'm one of the litigants in the case. I'm on the roster." So he told him, "If that's the case, I'm puzzled to be your dayan. You did me the favor and you removed the stain from my lapel. That's already a shoychat. Can you imagine?" I remember the story was said when they had the chads, the pregnant chads in Florida with some time ago with who's competing? Gore, Al Gore and Bush, Al Gore and Bush. So who decided to take up
judge.
All the judges? Who are the judges? All the Republican appointees. So they had no problem taking upon themselves to paskin who will be the next president, deciding who will be the next president of the United States, even though they have all been appointed. Some of them have been appointed by the Republican presidents or by Bush himself. I don't remember the details, but from the family, the Bush family, his father, George Bush Sr. So it wasn't the problem. It wasn't called Nogevedover. Here, someone just brushes off the dust from your lapel. I'm already Nogevedover. The sharecropper comes a day early. It's already Sheikhat.
I was on jury duty, and the judge told us, if you go to sleep in the bathroom, don't say hello. I'm not going to acknowledge you. Any small amount.
Right.
I'm not even going to acknowledge you, and don't acknowledge me. Don't say hello. Don't say anything.
Yes, that's right. That's. That is what it says here in this pasuk. That's the Gemara. That's what it refers to here. Noyer kapov mitmoch b'shochat. To shake out your hands from supporting any small amount of bribery. So let's go further. The Gemara goes on and describes all the different parts of this medrash in reference to all different stories in the Gemara, different individuals. But the key thing to remember is there are six different milos that are mentioned. Either it refers entirely to Abraham or refers to different individuals. And the main theme is that we're not dealing here with explicit prohibitions. We're dealing with things which are subtle. which technically are permitted. You can't say a violation has been committed in this, all the different examples. However, tzaddikim are on a higher standard, lifnei mishur sadin, and even when there's a small tinge of marasayin, even there is a requirement to go the extra level, referring it to Chizkiyahu. He is the melech, he inspired the Jewish people, and in his merit, the Jewish people were spared from the onslaught of Sancheiv. Pasuk tezayin, hu miramim yishkon, this individual, Chizkiyahu, and for that matter, all of the Jewish people, he will miramim yishkon, will dwell in the uppermost place. Yishkon means to dwell. Miramim means in the exalted high places. Mitzados siloim miskavbo. So we'll read it backwards. Miskavbo is his stronghold. Will be stones siloim, solid stones of mitzados, which are strong, or fortress, which are fortress-like. His stronghold will be a fortress of powerful stones. Lachmo nitan, his bread is delivered. He is parnasa. Hashem will bless him with parnasa. Parnasa is secure. Does not need to worry that tomorrow he'll lose his job. Neimav ne'emanim, his waters are faithful. He'll always have what to eat and drink. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide his needs. There is a very quick medrash of when it says here, Siloim, this beautiful medrash refers to giving tzedakah. It refers to giving tzedakah, that a person who mitzodos siloim miskavo. Sela means a rock, means a stone, but also can mean a coin. A person that gives tzedakah, you should not think that you're losing. Giving tzedakah is the greatest investment. A Kaddish Baruch Hu will pay back many times over. So a person that mitzados siloim miskabo, a person whose stronghold is a fortress of coins, in other words, it's meant interpreted, a fortress is, he is the place where people can come, the poor can come and receive money. Anyone that is in need, he is the one that is their support, he is their stronghold, he is their fortress. He provides for the poor, he will be blessed. Lachmo nitan, Hashem says, his bread will be given. Meimav ne'emanim, his waters are faithful. He will always have parnasa for his life, for his children. V'lo'ri'isi tzadik ne'ezov v'zado mevakesh lachem. It's a beautiful play on the word siloim, from the word selah. Okay, next pasuk. Now we come to a very well-known pasuk. Nelech biyafyoi techezeno einecha. This, of course, refers to, as we continue in these last two psukim, to Chizkiyahu. The king in his beauty, your eyes will see. We're addressing the Jewish people. They are being told that you will, at this point in time, after the Sancheiv has been destroyed, you will once again see your king in his glory. Melech, the king in his beauty, sechazeno inecha. The next three words are a bit difficult. Tereno eretz mar chakim. The Mitzudos and many other Mepharshim also explain, you have to add the word Melech a second time. This is common. In the hope we're getting the theme, we're getting the idea, we have this many times, you take one word in a pasuk and it's repeated, virtually. It's not actually there, but it's as if it's there. So we add the word Melech a second time. Melech b'yofi ha-sechazena einecha, tir'ena Melech Eretz Mar Chakim. Put the word Melech in between Tiren and Eretz, and what it means, the eyes that have seen, or the people that have seen a king at a distance, referring to Sancheiv. Until this point in time, there was another king that you saw from a distance. Who was that king? The enemy king, Sancheiv. He terrorized you. He brought upon the Jewish people Korban. You saw him from a distance. That will come to an end. He will cease to exist, and then your eyes will not see a foreign enemy king. You will see a king close up, one of your own, Chizkiyahu, in his glory, in his beauty. So, Melech b'yafi sechazeno einecha. The Tirena Melech Eretz Marchakim. You can't read the pasuk. You can't translate the word the pasuk in order. You have to translate it backwards. So the eyes that have seen a king Marchakim at a distance, the enemy king, will no longer suffer. But instead, Melech b'yofioi sechazen einecha, you will see your own king Chizkiyahu up close in a state of beauty. Let's look at the Mesudas, how he explains these words inside. Tirena eretz merchakim milas melech he'amur b'tchilas ha-mikra oimedes b'mokam shtayim. Has to be repeated twice. It's very common. If you ever have a pasuk like this, in the Neviim, play around. Sometimes that's how you have to interpret the pasuk. We have many examples. Take the word and repeat it somewhere else, in the middle of the word. Ki'ilu amar, as if the pasuk says, Tirena, Melech, you will see, or Tirena, you have seen Melech Eretz Merchakim, a king in a distant land. V'ratzolaymar, ha'inayim, sherohu adhema, the eyes that have seen thus far Melech Eretz Ashur, the enemy king of Ashur, hineata, no more. From here on in, after the miracle, Tirena es hamelech Chizkiyahu biyofyoi, in his beauty, uvi giduloso, and his greatness. Okay, that is the simple division of the pasuk. I saw Rav Schwab, he has beautiful interpretations of these psukim. A lot of some of this is based on Rav Shamshin Fal Hirsch, and he explains this pasuk also refers to the Melech HaMashiach. And of course, I mean, that's posh, all of these ideas. Chizkiyahu is the mashal of the Melech HaMashiach. Ashur is the mashal of Melchemes Goy Gumagol. Every generation there's a Melchemes Goy Gumagol going on. In every generation there are tzaddikim who are roi to be Melech HaMashiach. But the paradigm, the model of the ultimate Melech HaMashiach is Chizkiyahu. What is this pasuk telling us? That when Mashiach comes, throughout our history, we've always seen different kings. We see the President of the United States, all the different presidents in our lifetime, we see different world powers, all different countries. We've seen powerful individuals throughout our entire life. When Mashiach comes, no more. The one that will lead the world will be the Melech HaMashiach. So that's what this pasuk refers to. Tirena Melech Eretz Marchakim. So maybe when it means Eretz Marchakim, the land that Eretz Marchakim, we translate Marchakim, means from a distance. The way the Mitzvah translates that you have seen the Melech Ashur, you've seen him, you're sitting in Yerushalayim, there is a terrible siege. When you go up to the attic, you can see from the attic, you can see the camp of the Melech at a distance. No. Don't take the word Melech and attach it to the word Marchakim. Take the word Marchakim and attach the word Eretz. In Golos, in the distant lands, the lands where you have been pushed, you have been exiled to the far ends of the earth, in those lands that are called Eretz Marchakim, you've come in contact with many kings, many powers, world powers, smaller powers, governors, so on and so forth. You've learned what it means, authority. You got a taste of Malchus, authority. But when Mashiach comes, then you'll see the difference, the contrast, you'll see the real thing, the real deal of Melech b'yofyoi sechazen einecha. When Mashiach comes, you'll learn to see the Melech HaMashiach close up in his beauty. What is beauty? Beauty is Yirat Shamayim. It is leadership through the Torah. That is what you will see when times come. And indeed we have a Chazal, and Chazal say a person should exert himself to see the Malchei Umos Olam. If you have an opportunity to have an audience with the president, with a world power, go. Chazal instruct you, you are mechuyif. If you have such an opportunity, you're mechuyif to go. Why? If you merit, I don't know the exact words of the Gemara, I don't have it in front of me, but if you merit in Yizkeh, and you live in the time when Mashiach comes, you'll be able to be mafchin, to differentiate between the Malchei Umos Olam and the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Melech HaMashiach, is a dogma of the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you merit. So a person should exert himself to see, get a taste of Malchus. And that's exactly what this pasuk is telling us. It's contrasting the Eretz Merchakim versus the Melech B'yofyo Sechazen Einecha. Now, the simple interpretation is it's not such a good, it's not so pleasant, because the Melech Merchakim is a Rasha, is a tyrant, Melech Asher. But in the Drush, we're referring to not necessarily kings that are Rishon, referring to Stam, Malchus. But the Malchus that exists in the world is nothing like the Malchus of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech HaMashiach, and that is what the Pasuk here is telling us to contrast these two. There's another very famous halacha, Melech B'yafi Sechazen Enech, and this halacha that a king takes a haircut every single day. That's a halachic teaching, because the Melech must be in a state of Yoifi, of beauty. And beauty is a haircut, every perfectly groomed. Everything has to about the Melech must be perfect. It should be an honor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Melech biyafiyoi sechazena einach. Next pasuk, libcha yega ima. Your heart will contemplate fear. Ayei soifer. Now this means in the past tense. Now when the Sancheirif, going back to the simple interpretation, after the fall of Sancheirif and the rise of Chizkiyahu, how he restored the Jewish people to a state of glory, you'll think back in the past, wow, it's just not to be believed that we have been released from such a tzara, such a yach has been taken off our head. Just a few days ago, we thought we would be slaughtered. We were surrounded by 185,000 soldiers. Libcha yege, your heart will contemplate ema, the fear that you had in the past when you were on the verge of extinction. And you'll say, how could it be? This miracle is just beyond belief. Aye soifer, where are the scribes? Referring to the enemy scribes. Aye shekel, those who weigh. Aye soifer es hamigdolim. And this referred to the enemy. The enemy, they would come and they would make, Rahman al-San, I mean, we know about the Holocaust. There would be records. They would come around, they would want to know how many Jews live here. How many Jews live here? How much money do you have? Hand over your money. Hand over your children. Hand over this. There's an accounting by the enemy of who are our victims. How many people are we going to kill? The Germans were meticulous in their record keeping. That's exactly what it says here. They were seifrim, they were shekel, they would weigh everything, they would count the towers, they would count all the buildings. They wanted to know exactly what is available for to take away, to steal, to kill, to conquer. And you're going to think to yourself, amazing, we were tortured by these people. Where are they? Where have they gone? They're dead. Disappeared. How? Overnight. A miracle. This is the greatness of the miracle. Pasuk Yutes Es Am Noaz. What?
Rashi says they assess them for taxes.
For taxes. They would have to pay tribute. The cipher, they count the number of people. The shekel, they would weigh how much money you have. And that, depending on how many people, how much money you have, that's how much tax you pay. And they would count the migdolim, the businesses, what's going on, the big towers, the massive skyscrapers. This is the financial market of the Jew, of the people. The pasuk, the one pasuk, as on the continuation of...
Ayei sofer. Could you also interpret it a different way? Where is the Jewish sofer to write down this nest that has happened to us?
Okay, how would you go
for our own history?
Okay, I mean, okay, you can say that. You can say whatever you want, whatever. Yeah,
no,
yeah. A homiletic interpretation. Aye, so for you, this is such an amazing miracle. So where is the one that will record? Someone should come. Yes. Okay. This is the greatness of this miracle should be recorded for posterity. So we should learn from it. We should be able to be influenced. Absolutely. No, we have to keep records. There's always what to learn from the past. Absolutely. Pasuk Yutes Es Am Noaz Lo Sir. At this point in time, you will no longer see this arrogant nation. The enemy is simply referring simply to Sancheirif. They're Noaz, Lashon of Az, brazen. Brazen Loaz. Okay, the Rashi says Kimo Loaz. Loaz is Am Zar. Laz is Lashon Am Zar. So here it means a foreign nation. Where is this foreign nation which is mighty and arrogant? Lo Sira, you'll no longer see them. Lo Sira. Am Imke Safa, a Latin nation that whose language is deep. In other words, you don't relate to them. You cannot communicate with them. Nilag Lashon, repetition, their language is lag. Lag means backwards. It's incomprehensible to us. Ein bina, they have no understanding. They're in a different world. You always say, these people are from, they're a different world. You can't relate to them. You can't communicate with them. You can't talk to them. You can't talk sense into them. They're just there's not there. There's nothing we can do about them. It's just we have to just stay away. That is the nature of this wicked nation, Ashur. Okay, there's the Rav Shrabi goes further. He says beautiful homiletic interpretation of this pasuk, these two psukim, that are referring to Mashiach, Melech HaMashiach. Our Melech HaMashiach today, in the way the world works, everything revolves around money. It's a mitzvah. The economy. Everything. When Mashiach comes, Umolo kol aretz deya. It's what will the world will revolve around the knowledge of Hashem. Money is not important. And at that point in time, when Mashiach comes, Libcha Yege, Ema, your heart will contemplate with fear. You'll be astonished that life now is so different. The only thing that counts is Torah and Chochma. I can't even relate to the way the world used to exist before Mashiach came. In those times, what was the world about? Aye Sofer. Where is the one who counts the money? Aye Shekel, who weighs the gold and silver. Aye Sofer and Es HaMigdolim. It's all you hear in your news. The housing. It's housing. Are they building more houses? Or are they building less houses? This is an indicator if the economy is growing or is in a recession. What?
Real estate.
These are the statistics. Aye Sofer Es HaMigdolim. You're counting the real estate. What's going on? What's going on in the industry? Because the world where we live, the world runs, revolves around money, revolves around counting money, weighing precious materials, and growth. Is the economy growing or in recession? You will be astonished in the time of Mashiach to think back. That's the way the world revolved. That's what the world is all about. I can't believe it. And you'll say, who ran the world in those days before Mashiach came? And Am Noas, people that were brazen, had chutzpah, were totally off the mark. They didn't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Lo Siri, you're not going to see these people anymore. These were people, Am Imke Safa Mishmoa, their language, when you'll read the news, you'll take out from the libraries, their language, their values, what they spoke about, what the things that they kept themselves busy with, the forms of entertainment. You'll be baffled. This is what life was about. Am imke safa mishmoa. Their language was too deep in a negative context to understand. Nilag lashon ein bina. They were fools. it's hard for us to have to think about, but that's what it says. That's how Rav Schwab interprets these two psukim. And Simshan is referring to the people who lived in the time of Chizkiyahu, and they were spared from Sancheirif. And now they were elated. Ah, oh, we're free from the enemy. They're all gone. Referring to the Malchus of Asher, but in a broader understanding, or referring to times of Mashiach and looking back at the way what's important, our values that we're affected by this. Who are we fooling? we're participants in the crime. This is the way the world works, but it's going to come a point in time when we're going to look back and we're going to say that we were busy with Narishkeit, and the only thing that's important is Yiras Hashem. Okay, we'll stop here.